In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
The NHL has hit a critical mass as the owners and the NHL Players Association are meeting on Wednesday to decide when or possibly even if a season will get started. What's up, Caps fans? Welcome to another edition of the Capitol Building Podcast, part of Blue Wire Podcast. I'm the host, Rob Carlin. Once again, I ask of you this. Download, subscribe, write a review, leave a rating. All helps get the word out about the most in-depth Capitals podcast anywhere, Capitol Building Podcast. So please do your homework and do those four things. Download, subscribe, leave a rating, write a review. My guest today is Bruce Garriott of the Ottawa Sun, who has been very much at the forefront of all the negotiations as the NHL tries to decide how, when, and perhaps most frighteningly, if there will be a season this year. We recorded this on Wednesday afternoon before this 4 o'clock Wednesday phone call, of which Larry Brooks reported. Nick Kyprios also tweeted that they are talking about canceling the season because the owners have asked for another 13% deferral in pay from the players. This is only a few months after a 10% deferral back in July as part of the newly agreed upon 6-year collective bargaining agreement. So the owners are asking for a lot from the players, as they often do. And this is scary because there's going to be no gates, certainly not the gates we've known and grown accustomed to. So it's a critical mass. And as you'll hear from Bruce in the interview, when you start thinking about a January 1 start date, if possible, that needs to start happening right now. Because as Bruce will tell you, by Friday of this week, and again, we're recording this on November 17th for a November 18th release, I believe. Bruce is saying that the players would have to be into Canada to quarantine for 2 weeks to be prepared for the opening of training camp, to be prepared for the opening of the regular season. So the clock is ticking. Hopefully by the time we're listening to this, we'll have some sort of idea if they've made any progress. But as you usually do know, it's like politics and it's like the mob. Follow the money. Always follow the money. And right now, they're working out the money. And it usually comes down to a deadline. And I don't know if it's a drop-dead deadline right now, but it's in sight. You can certainly see it from here. So we'll get into whether or not Bruce thinks they get this worked out, how it gets worked out, how they potentially play these games, either in arenas or in a bubble. And there's a lot to be worked out. Plus, we'll take a look at the Ottawa Senators, who are rebuilding on the fly and have some good young pieces. And then they got Matt Murray from the Penguins and Evgeny Dadonov from Florida. And all of a sudden, throw that in with Brady Tkachuk and Thomas Chabot, and you got the makings of a nice squad. They're a ways away, but they're rebuilding quickly there in Ottawa. So here's my conversation now with the Ottawa Sun's Bruce Garriott. Well, Bruce, you've been certainly at the forefront of a lot of this reporting as they try and figure out, can they get back at all? Can they get back by January 1st? Can they get back by mid-January or February even at the latest? Now there's this Larry Brooks story that came out today that there's a phone call going on, and we're recording this at 3:15 on Wednesday. I probably should have waited to see what comes of this phone call. It's a 4 o'clock phone call where apparently, according to Larry Brooks, the owners are going to ask for another 13% deferral in pay. And remember, they signed this 6-year CBA agreement in July. So I say all of that to say, are they going to have a season this year?
Well, I think at some point, Rob, we're going to see a season take place. When that's going to be, I don't know. I think this negotiation is probably going to cause a further delay. People keep telling me, oh, well, there's a lot of time. before January 1, but that's really not the case. It's certainly in the situation of the Canadian teams, if the players come in, that they're going to have to self-isolate for 14 days, whether they come in from the United States or they come in from overseas. That's just a rule that exists in Canada right now. So if you look at a team like the Ottawa Senators, they want to open their training camp on December 7th. That means that the NHL and the NHLPA need to have an agreement in place by Friday so the players can get over here on Monday. They can self-isolate for 14 days and then give the Senators a chance to open their camp on December 7th. From my understanding, the players aren't thrilled with the idea of a 13% deferral. They certainly believe it's better than the alternative of not playing. But my guess is we're going to see some more battles before these two sides get a deal done.
You know, I've said a couple of times now, if there's a league that could figure out a way to shoot itself in the foot, it would probably be the NHL. But the even flirting with not having a season is so short-sighted. I get that the owners are going to take a beating if there's no fans in the stands. And I get the players have already conceded some money and there's a lot of money at stake. But you can't not play when certainly here in the States, there's still a niche sport.
Well, and you know way better than me, being where you are. Look, the National Football League is going to hold a Super Bowl in February. The NBA, we know, is going to start on December 22nd. The talk now is that Major League Baseball teams are going to go to their spring training in early February, and they're going to have their Grapefruit League season and minor league season in March. The NHL can't afford to sit out of here. They can't. They need to find a way to make this work. How's that going to work? That's to be negotiated. And I think that's what they're going through right now. I really feel like the NHL felt, before it held that Board of Governors meeting, that they were going to have an agreement in place by the time that Board of Governors meeting was held last Thursday. They weren't able to get that done. Why weren't they able to get that done? Because they hadn't gone to the players yet about this 13% deferral. And I think when they went to the players about the deferral, a lot of the players' reaction was, Rob, no way, we've given enough. But I do believe, as much as they fight back, I do believe that the relationship between the union and the NHL has never been better, and they will find a way to get this done. Will be in time for January 1. Myself personally, I don't think so. I think we're looking at a January 15th. The 20th start, but we'll see what happens over the course of the next couple of days.
I can't say I would blame the players, though, because they did just agree on this a couple of months ago to get them back on the ice. Right. Yeah. So how do the owners look? I know how they do it. They're like, we're the owners. But how do they look them in the face and say, I need another 13%? You guys go sacrifice everything, your safety, your health, but I need more money from you.
The only thing I'd say to that is, if I were the players, I guess you could look at it like, you know, it's 13% that you're going to get over 3 years. It's almost like money in the bank, so to speak. Okay. You know, it's going to be coming in. The issue is, you know, the players have already given up 10%. They know they're putting 20% into escrow. They know that next year, I think, is going to be the escrow is capped at 18%. They feel like they've done enough to help the owners cover their losses. So I think that's their trepidation in all this. But again, neither side, I don't think, can afford to have this season canceled. So to me, they need to find a way where it makes sense for both sides. But I also believe that the owners, when they signed that deal, I think they might have been a little short-sighted and where this virus was going. I mean, we knew the second wave was coming. They wanted to get a deal in place so badly that I think that they may have ended up compromising themselves in some way.
Now, having said what I just said about the players, I do get it from the owner's side too, because this league is built upon gates. This isn't
45% of revenues come from the gates.
Right. So I know there are owners like here in DC that would say, I can't put on an event for however many games it's going to be and not have any fans come in. And I think that we are looking at, you know, a big spike, which I think if they do this, there's a really good chance we're not going to have any fans in the stands. So how do the owners, you know, get to that point of saying it's just going to have to be worth it in this crazy 2020-2021 season, where even if we can't have fans or not fans for every game that we play, we just have to figure out a way to play.
Well, and I think that's where they're at right now. I think that what a lot of the owners are doing, and what Gary Bettman is asking the owners to do, certainly owners who don't want to play, and I know the owner here in Ottawa wants to play. He just said to me, I'd like to have some fans in the stands. But he also knows that at the start, that's probably not going to be possible. But he said at some point, he'd like to know that he's going to be able to have some fans in the stands. My sense is what Gary Bettman is saying to the owners is, you got to look at the greater good. And the greater good is that the NHL comes back and plays some sort of seasons here. I think what they're focused on right now, if they do start on January 1, is 60 games, 56 to 60 games. Whether that's going to be the case or not remains to be seen. Myself, personally, I think we're looking at a 48-game season starting around January 20th to 21st in that area, maybe February 1st. My sense is, though, Gary Bettman has got to get some of the owners on board with the fact that they're going to have to play in empty buildings. But I thought Eugene Melnyk made a great point when he spoke with John Shannon and Bob McCown the other day, and that you have 31 owners with 31. Some of the thinking is aligned. Some of the thinking is not aligned, and everybody's got to look at the big picture.
You mentioned the Eugene Melnyk, and in that podcast, he talked about doing rapid testing. And this is a guy who lives in the pharmaceutical world.
Oh yeah.
And he says, look, whatever money they lose, these are still billionaires that we're talking about. So to get rapid testing, and he's the way he said he would space out his arena, he thinks he can get probably 6,000 fans, and that's sort of every other seat, every other row type of thing. Do you think that could happen, where I get for rapid testing your team, but rapid testing that many fans on a night in, night out basis?
Did I read that the Sacramento Kings are going to spend money on rapid testing this season?
I hadn't seen that.
I thought I had seen that somewhere. Now, I could be wrong. I thought his concept certainly made sense to me, was that if you buy tickets, you have your rapid test at home, and then you basically have an app on your phone that says, I've tested negative for COVID today. Now, my thinking is, if you're going to do that, the club is going to have to pay that cost or alleviate the cost of that. I don't know how to put it, but my guess would be that, to me, it makes some sense. I think if you knew you were going into an arena with 6,000 people who all tested negative, I think you could certainly feel better about yourself. But think about this, Rob. Without some kind of rapid testing, like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to a movie theater right now.
No, I know.
And because you don't know who you're sitting with. And I also don't know about you. We haven't eaten a dinner indoors at a restaurant in 8 months. And I can't see anybody too crazy about going to a rink with 6,000 people and they don't know what it is. That's why I thought his theory of testing was probably a very good idea.
Well, as everyone knows, 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical, and Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Trust me, I'm someone who is on the job search right now. Indeed has been fantastic, and I am hoping that I am one of the success stories as well. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Football is back in swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in the action to Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. You know, it's funny, though, because I'm with you, and I have gone indoors a small handful of times, and I was uncomfortable the whole time I was there. But I talked to people within the Caps organization, talking, and this was a couple of months ago. I said, honestly, if they open the arena, how many fans do you think would even show up? And they were like, oh, it'd be packed. If we just opened the arena and said, come if you want, they thought it would be packed, because you're going to find 18,000 that would want to go, that would say, yeah, either it's a hoax or I'm cool with it. I'll put my mask on and I'm good.
Well, it's interesting, though, that because I think that's kind of the feeling in Ottawa. If they open it up, they would get 6,000 people. Because,
but would they fill it up? You think, like, if they opened it up?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But right. I think they'd get, because certainly by law here, they would not be allowed.
Right. But, I'm just saying, if they did.
Yeah, but I think that the sense you get is that there's a lot of fatigue. Right. Certainly in Canada with COVID and the talk about COVID, and that some people are just going to want to get out of their houses. And if they want to go to a hockey game, they're going to go to a hockey game.
So it's going to be
a very, very interesting few months here.
Oh, for sure. So we're saying all this about opening the arenas, and we don't even know if that's going to be the format in which they go. Right. So do you think play in arenas, or do you think they're going to try to do some sort of travel bubble, go home, travel bubble, go home?
My own feeling is they'll start with the travel bubble initially, but I think at some point teams are going to want to get to their own arenas, and that's for sponsorship reasons. Mm-hmm. That's for reasons of television. You know, if let's say they do have an all-Canadian division, certainly shaping up that way, you're going to have three games a day starting at – are you going to start three games a day at 4, 7, and 10? The viewership for that 4 o'clock game, quite frankly, is not going to be great. 7, you're going to pick it up, and 10, you're going to, 10, it's going to start to fall off again. So I think that's why teams want to play in their own arena. Number one, to satisfy whatever sponsorships they have with rink boards. The other thing is they want to be able to sponsor their, or they want to be able to satisfy some of their local television agreements. And quite frankly, you talk to the players about hubs, they don't want it, even if it's 10 to 12 days and go home for a week. They're not really thrilled about that idea. And the other thing is, as you stated, I don't know what the rules are in Washington. I know in Ottawa and in Canada, you can't have gatherings basically over 25 people. But I was led to believe that someplace in the United States, you can sell tickets. I think Carolina could have 4,000 people. I don't know what the gathering limits are in Washington, but there are places in the United States where they could sell some seats.
Yeah, and we're recording this now. This could all change. I mean, it's changing so rapidly now. They're cutting back on restaurants to 25%. So, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that goes to kind of what you're saying, that they may start one way and go another way. And I think baseball has shown that. Football has shown that. You're going to have to adapt, because you're just going to have to be able to say, well, this is how it is today, and a month from now, we'll figure out a month from now. But they're going to have to be, willing to just change on the fly.
Yeah, and my guess would be even if they launch a schedule, it won't be a full schedule. Like they won't release the whole schedule at once because they'll want to see what's going to happen. But even the Canadian border, the extension of the Canadian border closure today was extended to December 21st. So an all Canadian division to me looks like it's an absolute. That's absolutely going to be the case. And then we're going to go from there. I mean, then it's going to be regional divisions, would be my guess.
How big would an all-Canadian division be? I had someone on recently, and I said, you know, the first time I went into Canada and I watched TSN at night and saw how long each highlight was from every game, I was like, yeah. My God, this sport is crazy here. I mean, the roofs on the buildings would explode if it was a rivalry game every night.
Well, exactly. And, you know, Ottawa getting to play Montreal and Toronto 8 times would be, I think, a blessing to their fans. They would love it. I think that Calgary and Edmonton facing off 8 times, you know, you think about it in the original 6 days, those 6 teams played each other 14 times. you know, I think that, I thought at first that it would be saturated, and I spoke with former Hockey Night in Canada producer John Shannon. He said, no way. So the fans will love it. Love he it. Said they'll eat it up. And you're right. I think that in Canada you can't get enough of the Canadian teams playing each other.
Interested about the Ottawa team now. The Matt Murray deal. I mean, that's obviously the biggest one. What do you think he's got left in the tank? I mean, there's plenty left in the tank. Can he get to where he used to be? Yeah.
Well, and that's the challenge, right? The challenge. Right. One thing I could say in my discussions with Matt Murray, he's very excited. He's very excited about the opportunity to come here. He's very excited about the chance to be a starter again. I think in the end in Pittsburgh, he didn't really feel like he was treated the right way, and he wants a fresh start. And they're excited to have him, and they immediately signed him to a 4-year, $25 million extension. And that to me says one of the things he's going to bring to them is stability in the net. And that's what they need. You know, it could almost be a seamless transition because for 10 years, Craig Anderson brought this club stability in the net. He's the best goaltender to have ever suited up for this team. Myself personally, I feel like he should be the first goalie here to have his number retired. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but they're going to honor him in some way. And I think bringing in Matt Murray is going to help those young players knowing that they've got a guy in the net who's won 2 Stanley Cup titles.
So you think, so I'll compare him a little bit to, and it's not fair, but I'll compare him a little bit to Michael Kempney when he came here from the Blackhawks. He was so good in 2018. Now there was an injury, but he was not very good last year. And I said, I don't know, maybe 2018 was the aberration. You know, maybe he just sort of regressed to the means of who he really is, which is, you know, maybe a 4-5-6 rather than a 1-2-3 defenseman. Do you think Matt Murray is that guy that he was for the 2 Stanley Cup run in Pittsburgh? Or is he, you know, he had this amazing time and now he's an average goalie?
You know, I think he's a good goaltender. I think he'll be a difference maker for them. The one thing he's going to give them is he's going to give them confidence because I think there were times last year, certainly when they're going through struggles and going and you know both Craig Anderson and Anders Nielsen were injured. I think they lacked confidence in what was going on in the net, and I think certainly one of these things these players can do is have some confidence in what's happening in the net. I think he'll be a good factor for them.
Evgeny Dadonov, I feel like that could be a boom or bust. He could either be really, really good for this team or just be a detriment.
Well, it'll be interesting because obviously he had a lot of options. And, you know, there's been a lot of criticism here about the owner, you know, and not being willing to spend money. But he stepped up and they made Evgeny Dadonov a 3-year, $15 million deal. He's a guy who has scored 25 goals over the last 3 seasons per season. He's got 80 goals. The one area he can really help them, and this is obviously the area they need him to help the most, is on the power play. Because their power play was absolutely awful last year. And if Dadonov can contribute on the power play, that's going to be a big key for them.
I love Brady Tkachuk. What is his ceiling? How good can he be?
Well, I think down the road, he's certainly a candidate to be the captain of this team. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he plays, he's a competitor like his dad was. He's hard-nosed. He's a troublemaker. He gets in there. He's not afraid to get his nose dirty. You know, I think he could quite certainly be a very consistent 20-goal scorer down the road. I look at him, and to me, there is no ceiling. You know, he could be a great power forward for a number of years. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of focus on him, getting him signed to a long-term contract. But I do believe that, you know, after signing Thomas Chabot to an 8-year deal, that they will certainly sit down with Tkachuk at some time this season and try and get him signed to a long-term deal.
So those are the big names: Murray, Dadonov, Tkachuk. You mentioned Chabot, who's really good too. And then there's a bunch of young kids. Is there going to be one or two that you think could pop this year, that all of a sudden now Ottawa's in a playoff type of a feel?
Well, I think they're going to have a tough time, especially if it's Canadian division. I think they're going to have a tough time competing a playoff spot, simply because it's going to be so difficult. And all the Canadian teams have improved, certainly the Montreal Canadiens have, and I feel like the Vancouver Canucks have as well. But I look at Ottawa, and I think we're going to see probably Drake Batherson in the lineup here. You know, Drake has been an all-star in the American Hockey League the last couple of years. He's kind of a guy who's being relied on to make that next step. I think we're going to see him make that next step. Josh Norris, who they got in the Erik Karlsson trade, is a center who has an opportunity in training camp to be this club's number two center. He scored 20 goals last year in Belleville, was the AHL's Rookie of the Year. And, you know, he's a guy that they insisted on being in that trade, and I think he's a guy that you got to keep an eye on. Then, obviously, there's Alex Fermentin, who's a hard-nosed winger with great speed. He's a guy who, if he doesn't make this club coming out of training camp, he'll be here down the road.
It's a wild couple of years, man, for that organization, from where they were to how deep and bad they got to now all of a sudden they got something building here.
Well, it was interesting because, you know, Eugene Melnyk said nobody has, like, trashed the number of players that he did over the last few years. But you know what? They decided midway through 2018 that they had to tear it down, start all over again. They felt like when they got Matt Duchene that they were one player away, and it just did not work out that way.
No, not at all. But it's an interesting team right now. And hopefully we'll see them on the ice sooner rather than later. I mean, like I said, there's this 4 o'clock call. And according to, before I let you go, one final, according to Nick Kyprios, there's going to be like 100 players on this call.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a monumental moment, I think, in what's going to happen, huh?
Yeah, and I think there's not a lot of happiness on the players. You know, that they're being asked to defer 13% of their salaries. This is going to get settled. It's probably just going to take more of a negotiation to get settled. And I think, having covered the lockout in 2004 and the lockout in 2013, and having stood on the streets of New York while the NHL and the NHLPA were meeting, lockout negotiations are roller coaster rides. I believe that this is, in a lot of ways, like a lockout negotiation. I think it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster ride, but I do believe in the end, both sides want to play. They just need to find a way to get to the finish line.
Bruce, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much. We'll catch up down the road.
Good to see you again, Rob.
I think the most interesting thing to come out of that conversation was the Eugene Melnyk idea of the rapid testing to get fans into the stands. Again, someone's going to have to pay for that. It's got to be the owners. You can't ask the fans to do that. So if they can work something like that out and have the rapid testing and you can get in, maybe you can put a percentage of the arena. But it's all going to depend on what happens with COVID and these surging spikes all over the world, really, but certainly all over North America, which is going to greatly affect how they're able to potentially try and pull this off indoors in arenas in the winter. So they have a lot to get to. Again, hopefully by the time you're listening to this, we have some sort of clarity of something. I don't know what, probably not. I'm not banking on it, but I think I'm with Bruce. I can't see how they're going to get ready by January 1. I would love it. I think it's the right thing to do. I just don't know if that timing will allow that from where we are right now. But I would hope that they get this worked out and they get the season started by mid to late January and go anywhere from, 48 to 56 games and get a Stanley Cup champion named again. So they've got some heavy lifting to do, but that is the task at hand for the NHL and the NHLPA. Thanks to Bruce Garriosh for joining me today as we broke this all down. Thanks to you for listening. And again, please go and download, subscribe, leave a rating, write a review. All helps get the word out about the Capitol Building Podcast, part of Blue Wire Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Carlin. We'll talk again soon. Let's go, Caps.